Okay, as we've seen so far, Rabbi Olshin Shlita has picked out many different good topics to discuss, things that I think are important in our lives. And today's topic that was given is, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu really care about the small things? We'll make a little plug for the Mishabruah Chabura, which many of the guys on right now were there this morning. We'll be starting tomorrow morning, Halacha Chabura. And in there we'll see there's a lot of small detailed halachas. And the question is, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu really care about those different things? So the one that was put in the title and a great example, and I'll read it to you inside for just a moment, is there's a halacha of how to put on your shoes. There's a halacha of how to put on your shoes. Listen to this for 1 second. Siman Beis, so all the way in the beginning of all of Shulchan Aruch, one of the first things that they want you to know is as follows. Yina'al mina'al yomim tchila v'loy kishenu. That you should put on your right shoe before your left, but don't tie it. Then you should put on your left shoe, and then tie your left shoe. Then go back and tie your right shoe. So it tells you how to put on your shoes in the morning. Put on your right, put on your left, and tie your right. And the question is, does God really care about that? Does that really make a difference? I understand, of course, that God cares about, do I keep kosher? Do I keep Shabbos? Of course, those things are super important. But the way I put on my shoes, and this is just an example for many other small halachos. So I'll give you an example that just happened. We just started, again, school here for kids in Israel. My daughter, she's in Gan. It's preschool. It's not even kindergarten yet. And she's the most orderly person you've ever seen. You tell her how to get something done, and she'll get it, but it needs to be in the order. You need to explain to her, what's the order? So first day, we're in summer months. She'd wear her pajamas later into the day, and we got to get back into the things. So I sit her down first day. I said, got to get ready for school. And she said, okay, how are you doing it? So I said, we're going to get dressed every morning. First thing, we put on our shirt. Then we put on our pants. Perfect. We're ready to go. The next day, we sit down. We're getting dressed. And I say, let's put on your pants and then put on your shirt. And she went nuts at me. She said, yesterday you said put on your shirt first. And I was trying to explain to her, it doesn't really matter what order, I just meant get dressed. So for her, when I said that your shirt goes first, it was Halacha Moshe Mesinai. Nothing could be changed at that point. It had to be that way. But did I really care? No, I just meant you get dressed and then we'll go downstairs and eat breakfast and then we'll go to Gan. That's the way it works. And the question is that what is meant by the Halacha? Is it just, okay, you put on your shoes, this is maybe the quickest way, right, left, right. Or is there real meaning behind this? So the answer on a simple and truthful level, I believe, is 100% there's meaning behind it. Every halacha that's written in Shulchan Aruch, most come from the Gemara, some come from straight from the Torah, of course has tremendous meaning. So to give a one minute answer to what it means about your shoes is that the right in halacha takes precedent over the left. So we always start with the right side. So we put on the right shoe first. Oh, why do we tie the left shoe first? It's because when it comes to straps or laces, it's always represented by the tefillin. And the tefillin for a righty, you put on your left arm. So the left side takes precedent when it comes to straps. And there's Kabbalah on this and there's deeper reasons, but that's the simple reason. And so on a very simplistic level, the answer is, yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does care. There's a reason to each and everything. But that's not at all what I want to actually discuss. I want to bring out to show you something beautiful in the small things in all of Judaism, specifically maybe Halacha. But there's two really, really important lessons I think we can learn about small things that have a lot to do with our year here, Shana Aleph, Shana Bet, and a lot to do with the month of Elul that we're specifically in right now. So number one, this is lesson number one that we can learn from this. Lesson number one is we often make a big, big mistake, that it's the big things that make someone great. It's the contrary. It's the little things that people do a lot that make someone who they are. That makes one really, really great. It's not the big moment that I stayed up and I learned all night. Those are great things. We'll speak about those things in a moment. It's the fact that I learned 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, whatever your level is, but I did it every single day, the small things. I'll give you a perfect, I like sports a lot, so it's very hard for me not to speak about it. There's a stat in the NBA, sorry for those from England, someone could translate for you later. There's a stat from in the NBA called clutch shot percentage. What it means is as follows. Under a certain amount of time left in the game, with a certain close score, as long as the score is close enough, then any shot taken in that moment falls under this category of clutch shot. So who's the greatest shooter probably of all time? His name is Stephen Curry. I'm sure some of you have heard of him. His shot, clutch shot percentage is 33%. Out of 96 tries, he has hit 32 clutch shots. 33% exactly on the dot. However, there's another player which probably you guys don't even know who he is, but I remember him clear as day, played with Kobe and Shaq on the Lakers. His name is Big Shot Robert Horry. Big Shot Robert Horry shoots 40% in this moment, clutch shot. And my question for you is, who would you rather? Would you rather Stephen Curry in the big moments hits 33% of his shots? Or would you rather Robert Horry, who in the big moments hits 40% of his shots? So I think we can all agree that Stephen Curry is the bigger player, better player. Because just these big shots, these 12 out of 30 chances that Robert Horry hit, doesn't make him a great player. Those are great big moments, don't get me wrong. Those are moments that put him, you know, in finals history forever, but he's not a Hall of Famer. Stephen Curry brings the same intensity, same level of shooting each and every game, and that puts him on a whole different level. And it's the same thing, lahavdil, to life. People throw out, you know, the big moments, I accomplished this, I accomplished that. Those are awesome. They're super important. You're going to go down in your history forever. But it's the little things, the day-to-day stuff, that's what makes you a Hall of Famer in Yiddishkeit. That's what's going to put you into a new, totally new zone. This concept should change our mindset completely. That means we all have the ability to be great. If it was all about those, how many nights we stayed up learning and how long my Shemona Esrei is and, you know, what was my Kavana during my Yom Kippur davening, then it would be really hard for us to succeed. There would be very few great Jews. There would be Rav Nevin Salar, Rav Chaim Kenievsky, and a lot of other people. But for us average people, Shana Aleph, Shana Bet, it might be really hard to become great. But if we think about it the way we're saying, that it's the small little things that make us great, then we can all do it. So it should make us feel like we have a tremendous ability, but also a tremendous responsibility. That there's no more like, oh, I can't do it anymore. I cannot connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You could, because it's all about the small day-to-day moments. There's a parsha, actually, in the Torah called Parshas Ekev, and the parsha starts off as follows. It says, V'hoya Ekev tishmu'un, es ha-mishpatim ha'ilu v'shmartim v'asisim, that you should obey and listen to these mitzvos. And if you obey and you listen to these proper mitzvos, the rest that comes on after, you're going to get great bracha, great reward. And if you look, the beginning, the word is v'hoya ekev. The whole parsha is called ekev. And the question is, what does the word ekev mean? The word ekev means to obey, but really an ekev is a heel. And Rashi picks up on this. He says, why did they choose to use this word? I don't know if you find it anywhere else in the Torah, meaning obey. Why do we choose to use this word in this case? V'haya ekev tishmun. So listen to Rashi, says it's golden. As always, Rashi says, im ha-mitzos kalos, sha'adam dash be'ekev tishmun. It's referring to the light mitzos that a person is dash be'ekev. He just tramples over with his heel. The reason it says v'haya ekev, that if you obey, it's a play on words of what it really means, of a heel, that the mitzvos that the pasuk are referring to, that if you listen, you're going to get great reward, are the small little mitzvos that people just trample over with their heels. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give you bracha for. Because if you put it on, it's not so hard to get excited for to buy a lulav and esrog. It comes once a year. To light Hanukkah candles, it's once a year. To get serious Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, it's once a year. We can all do it. But how do you get real reward if you're diligent when it comes to the mitzvos of Dash Be'ekev? The ones that you just trample over. And I thought you could say perhaps to add to it, is that what is the idea of a heel? A heel is very hard skin, right? Back in the day, they didn't have the same shoes as us. And your foot could become callous. It becomes very hard. And you really don't feel the small things anymore. But the big things you'll feel. And maybe that's exactly pshat in this idea. The big mitzvahs we feel. But the small pebbles we walk over, the small mitzvos each and every day, we might not feel as much. But are they there? Of course they're there. They're all there. They're dust be'ikev. We just trample over them. But if you are willing to notice that the small things are all there, you feel them all, they're meant to impact us, we won't overlook these small things in halacha. And now you go back to, which shoe does it matter do I tie first? The answer is yes. These small decisions that I'm making to follow the halacha is what's making me great. You know, they tell a story about the great Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He was in Eretz Yisrael in particular, where all of us are right now. He was the leader, but he was really the leader of the whole generation. And a few Talmidim, they mustered up the confidence to go ask. He says, Reb Shlomo, what made you the Gadol Ador? And they're all expecting these huge, brilliant answers. Well, I finished Shas at this age, and I knew all Halacha by that age, and I chazered 1,000 times. And listen to what Reb Shlomo Zalman says back then. He says, I davened during the hours of davening. I learned when I was supposed to, during Seder, when I was supposed to be learning. I did chesed when I was supposed to be doing chesed. It wasn't some brilliant answer, something that none of us could do. But it was the small little things each and every day that he did who made him the great person that he is. And that is really what the main first focus is, that what is it about the small halachos? It's deciding to do them that make us great. It's the Stephen Curry, not the Robert Ori, that we want to be. In the Sefer Olam Midos, which I'm sure many of you have learned, and I'm sure all of you are going to open up this year, it's amazing. He asks a brilliant question. There's two people in Tanakh referred to as Shifra and Pua. And those are nicknames for two people. Shifra was Yocheved, Moshe Rabbeinu's mother, and Pua was Miriam. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu's sister. And these are two of the greatest females in all of Tanakh. And why did they get these nicknames? Shifra comes from the word to clean up. To clean up the babies after they were born, she would come and clean up the babies. Something small, a midwife. And Pua, Rashi explains, would poo-poo a baby. I think in English we'd call it to cuckoo a baby. It means it would calm down a baby after they were born. Baruch Hashem, we were zocha less than a week and a half ago to have a baby. And when you have your baby comes out, the baby starts to cry, and the midwife takes the baby, they clean it up, and they calm down the baby. And this is how Yocheved and Miriam, the great leaders of all the females, they got their nicknames. Something so small. And he asks the question. He says, why is that their nickname? What about the fact that they had Nevuah? What about the fact that they led all the women across the Yam Suf and sing and dance with them? Why these small things? And he gives exactly our answer. He says, you're right. At big moments, people step up. But the small moments when no one else was there to cuckoo a baby and to clean up a baby, who were the ones who stepped up? Who did the small little things? The answer is these two people, Yocheved and Miriam. So therefore, they're called Shifra and Pua. It's not a degrading that these were their nicknames. It was the greatest praise that they looked at the small things and said, I am going to take my responsibility on them. I'm going to step up when there's no one else to do it. We often hear these, I love Gedolim stories. I love them. I think everyone should read Gedolim books. I have a great mashal for another time of how a Gedol book could affect you. But we hear all these amazing stories about these Gedolim, and they seem like they're from a different universe. They're a different planet. Like, how are humans? And some of us grow up very similar to us. How could they reach such heights? But my favorite Gedolim stories are not about how many times they finish Shas in a year or all these other things. My favorite Gedolim stories are the ones that make them seem so normal. So normal, but they just do it a little bit above and beyond. They tell a story about the great Lubavitcher Rebbe, that everywhere he went, he had Hasidim following him left and right. But on Rosh Chodesh, he would go to the Ohel, which is where he is buried now. But when he was alive, his father-in-law, Rav Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson, the Lubavitcher Rebbe before him, that's where he was buried. He would go and he would daven there every Rosh Chodesh. But no one would come with him, just him alone. People would ask, could I come? Could I come? And one Rosh Chodesh, he allowed them to come and sit on the side as he davens. And they noticed all this colorful paper. He's reading this colorful paper, paper after paper after paper. It seems like drawings. And they're trying to figure out what it is. And he's reading each and every paper. It's a letter from the kindergarteners. Hundreds of kindergartners, Lubavitch kindergarteners. He's reading all their letters and giving them a bracha, davening for them. He read each and every single letter they said. You think that when the moras in kindergarten and the rebbeim in kindergarten said, let's write a letter to the Rebbe, that they thought that he was going to read each and every one? and really daven for them at the kever on Rosh Chodesh when he was all alone and no one else was watching. That's how he was going to spend his time. But a real leader understands that even the small people, even the small things, they make all the difference in the world. And that was Lubavitcher Rebbe, and that's what we could do. We can't daven for a kindergartner. We can't do something small. Of course we could. And those small things, they all add up with a lot of big things, and you become Lubavitcher Rebbe. It's obviously a certain level, but that's what we should be striving for. This should be our mindset during the year of Shana Aleph, Shana Bet, and specifically in El. We all want to make change. We all want to do better. And sometimes it's so daunting and overwhelming. How can I make such a big change? And the reason is because our thought process is totally wrong. It's not about the big change. It's about doing the small thing, but making a change that is going to last. One of my favorite midrashim is the following midrash. Shir HaShirim Rabbah Hey Beis. Listen, I'm going to read it inside because the words are so beautiful. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LiYisrael Bani. Hashem says to Yisrael, my children. I love it when it says that. Pischu Li Pesach Echad Shel Tshuva. Make for me one opening of tshuva. Kechuda Shel Machat. Like the size of a needle hole. That's what you need to do, Yisrael. What is Hashem going to do? Va'ani poseach lechem psachim shehayu agalos v'kronos nichnasim bo. And I'm going to make this little teeny hole of the size of a needle. I'm going to open it up where wagons and carriages can come through. And the idea is you need to do a teeny bit of tshuva, says the Midrash. And I'm going to send in crazy wagons and it's going to open it up. But you took that small first step. If you ever notice a needle, I don't know how many of you guys have ever sewn something yourself. The top, there's a little bit of a hole. And you put the thread through, and that's how you sew. And it's a teeny hole, and that's the hole that the Midrash is referring to. But the hole of a needle is made out of iron. It's a small hole, but it's ironclad. You can't move it. And that's what we're supposed to do with tshuva. Do something small, but we're not going to break. It's a small choice, but it's made out of iron. And if you do that, then Hashem's going to open it up and make it tremendous. But if we try to do these big, big things, but they're made out of flimsy material, then it's going to fall and fail. And the idea is when we do these small halachas, like tying our shoe in the morning, it's a small thing. But every morning I'm going to do it for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's these small things add up and they become something great. Everything we've set up to now is still reason number one, is the idea that the small things make great change in our life. But I want to take even the reason number one a step further. And that is all these small things that we call small might not even be that small. There's a first Mishnah in Perek Yevos, the Sefer that we must all delve into. And it says like this, first Mishnah in Perek Beis, V'hayu zahir b'mitzos kala k'chamura. You must be careful with the easy, the light mitzos, like you are with the heavy mitzos, this tough mitzos. Why? She'ein ata yodea matan tzcharen shel mitzvah. Because you don't know the reward of the mitzvah. You need to be as careful with the small things, with the big things. Who says, just because it's easy to do, does that mean it's a small mitzvah? Does that mean it's not a huge reward? How do you know? The Midrash Rabbah points out, it's Devarim Rabbah points out, he says that we almost nowhere in the whole Torah know the reward for the mitzvah. It doesn't say, by the way, if you eat kosher, then this is what you're going to get. We don't know the system. So to you, it's a small, easy mitzvah, but who knows if that's true? It might not be a true statement. But he brings two examples where it does say mefurish in the Torah what the reward is. The first is honoring your parents. Right? One of the Aseres HaDibros, it says that if you honor your parents, you're going to live a long life. Honoring your parents is one of the toughest mitzvahs in the whole Torah. We love our parents. They're fantastic. Without them, we're not here. After this call, we should all leave our parents a message just saying, I love you and thank you for sending me to yeshiva. But it's a tough thing. It's all your life. It's every facet of your life. And sometimes the closest relationships can be the most frustrating. It's a huge mitzvah to fulfill to the fullest. And that's one mitzvah where it actually explicitly says the reward. And what's that reward? A long life. What a great reward. There's another time in the Torah where it explicitly says what the reward is going to be, and that's by the mitzvah Shluach HaKein. What's Shluach HaKein? There's a mother bird that's sitting on an egg, and you want to take the egg. And what do? You have this half decency to shoo away the mother bird before you take the egg. Probably one of the most simple mitzvahs. Birds are scared of humans. You don't even have to get that close. You just shoo it away, and the bird flies away. And there also, the Torah says, what's your reward? You have a long life. So we, on one hand, we have one of the hardest mitzvos in the whole Torah, and one of the easiest mitzvos. And those are the ones that the Torah decides to tell you. It's the same exact reward. So what's the message, says the Midrash? The message is what you think is big and awesome rewards may not be. And what you think is so simple may be the greatest of all rewards. And so this is the idea. Number one, we're saying the small things make you great. But even to take it further, these small things might be tremendous. You don't even know the reward. And that's reason number one. Why should we focus on the details? It's because the details is what makes someone a fantastic person. Reason number two, and the last one for today, is one of my favorite ideas. It is so hard to live by, but if you choose to live by it, you will change your life forever. And that is, details allow us to make the decision to act like a Jew. To act like a Jew. We're all born Jewish, right? This is what, did you make the decision? Yeah, how many of you, us know Gerim in the world? There are Gerim. And I have the utmost respect for them. Any ger I ever see, I ask for a bracha because I mamish think that they're the next level. How many of us know gerim? Maybe some of us, few people at max. But so every one of us kind of were just born into Judaism. So does that mean we chose to act like a Jew? The small halachas each and every day give us the ability to say, today I'm acting like a Jew. Everyone in the world puts on their shoes in the morning. Everyone. But the Jews decide to do it in a certain way with a lot of meaning to it. So yeah, these small details, does Hashem really care? Yes or no? The answer is yes, but it's almost irrelevant. It's for me to say, I put on my shoes. I'm choosing to put on my shoes like a Jew today. And that's what these halachas provide for us. There could be two people doing the exact same act. Two people, you and your friend that you're going to go to college with, your coworker, you know, Christian, he's putting on his shoes, you're putting on your shoes, and you look the same, but there's a world of a difference between the two of you. For example, a flower, two flowers start to bud, and one you're watering every day, and the other one you kind of just leave to take a world of its own. At the moment, they look exactly the same. They've both come out, started to sprout a little bit. But one you're watering and you know the roots are growing strong beneath the ground. And the other one is going to die. So the moment it looks the same, but there's so much behind it. And that's a person who performs the act of tying his shoes as an example with meaning, with the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a person who just ties his shoes. Another example I love is that you could take two gold pieces right in front of you. One is pure gold and one is just a rock that's painted gold. On the outside, they look exactly the same. But the value is a world of a difference. One is you couldn't sell if you tried, and one is the market value is tremendous. And that's what we have the ability. We can choose every single morning when we put on our shoes or any other detail in halacha. Say, I am today acting like a Jew. I'm making that decision. We say the bracha every single morning, Shaloh Asani Goy. Thank you Hashem for not making me a non-Jew. And it comes up lehalacha, and it's actually against the Mishnah Berurah Paskins that you should not say, thank you Hashem for making me a Jew. And the question is why? If I want to thank you for something, it is so much more beautiful to thank you for the positive. Why don't we say every single day, Hashem, thank you for making me a Jew? Why do we say thank you Hashem for not making me a non-Jew? It's a weird way of speaking. It's not how we would normally think someone we want to have a karas hatov for. So one of the most beautiful answers I heard is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes us not a non-Jew every day. But through our decisions throughout the day, we choose whether to or not to become Jewish. Whether to act like a Jew. He makes us not a Jew. But what you decide to do, chooses whether or not you want to act like a Jew. And that's what these small details do. Of course, keeping Shabbos and keeping Kashrus, those are all beautiful ways to act like a Jew. But I think some of the most beautiful things to do is actually the things that everyone else in the world already does. The way you dress, the way you talk, the way you tie your shoes, all these small things that everyone else in the world does, but I do them differently. I'm choosing to do them like a Jew. Going back to that Mishnah that we mentioned from Perek Yavos, Perek Bey's Mishnah Aleph, it says, V'hayu zahir b'mitzvos kala k'chamura. Right? Take the light mitzvos as seriously as the big mitzvos. And we explain, we don't really know what the difference is between them sometimes. We think that this is light and this is strong, and maybe we're wrong. But Rabbeinu Yonah gives another answer. He explains that what's the idea of a mitzvah? The word mitzvah comes from the word tivasa, to connect. A mitzvah is there to connect us with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the difference? If it's a big mitzvah or a small mitzvah, The whole idea is to connect us, to have a relationship with Hashem. You know, if you want to get Mirtz Hashem, your wife or your parents, a present, a birthday present is awesome. It might be the biggest present of the year, but it doesn't make you have a good relationship with them. It's the caring day in and day out that makes you have a good relationship with your spouse, with your wife, with your kids. It's the same thing with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. To buy him a great birthday present, a New Year's present on Rosh Hashanah, to say I'm going to do great, to have a Shtark Chanukah and Pesach, those are awesome. Those are birthday presents. Those are anniversary presents. Those are the big deal and they're awesome. But you know what really builds a relationship? A random Sunday morning when everyone's tired and in bidud and you decide to bring it and bring your A-game. That's the decision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That's what a mitzvah is all about. It connects you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the small little day-to-day things. The decision to act like a yid that really builds that relationship. The one time the Chafetz Chaim went over to somebody, they're in the midst of a conversation, and he asked him, he said, what did the mun taste like? And we've all heard this before. What did the mun taste like? The mun tastes like whatever you wanted. You want steak? Bam. You want pizza? Bam. Whatever you want, I got you covered, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's going to taste like that. And that's what the man answered the Chafetz Chaim. And the Chafetz Chaim says back to him, he says, what if you thought of nothing? You just ate the mun. I was thinking of nothing at the moment. I just want to eat mun, ate it. He said, what do you think it tasted like then? And the man says back to the Chafetz Chaim, it probably tasted like nothing then. You thought of nothing, it tastes like nothing. And the Chafetz Chaim says back to him, you're 100% right. He says, it's the same thing with Torah and mitzvos. If while you're doing them, you think of nothing, you get nothing out of it. No feeling. But if while you're thinking about it, I'm connecting to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm doing it for you. That's why I'm tying my shoes like this. That's why I'm doing all these things. I'm dressing like this. I'm talking like this. It's because I want to connect to you. Then you have the greater, you take the same thing and you make it so great. So many of us in the years past, not of us right here, but in years past, we've dealt with yeshiva students. One of the things that I find hold them back more than anything is that they came just because they came. You went from 8th grade to 9th grade, so you go from 12th grade to yeshiva for the year. It's kind of what everyone does. There's in the mainstream schools, the overwhelming majority of the kids that are coming to our yeshiva kind of just come because that's what everyone does. And it holds them back because they never made that decision. I want to go to yeshiva. And they kind of start to think, regret, look at everyone else my age. What is everyone else out there doing? Why am I here? I don't know. I didn't really decide to do it. And it holds them back. Time and time again, I believe. This year is totally different. Every single one of you chose to be here, knowing that there's bidud, knowing that it's going to be a tough year, knowing that there's an unknown in this year. People deciding to come, instead of going to YU, coming back and doing both. Decisions that were, I'm going to decide to come and be a part of it, is what's going to give, I believe, tremendous siyata d'shmaya to all the Talmidim this year. Something extra that is not there because you're living this idea. I'm deciding to come, as opposed to just I'm showing up one day. Hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people have come year after year before you. But you've made the decision, I'm coming through the tough times. And I'm going to make the best out of it. There's Gemara in Brachos, and Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis, that says a Baal Tshuva stands in a place that even a Tzaddik Gemar, a guy who was a Tzaddik his whole life, can't stand. And the Gemara always bothered me. A Baal Tshuva means somebody who's Jewish, wasn't, let's say, following the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now he's returning to it. He's Baal Tshuva. He's making tshuva. Then even a tzaddik whose whole life was acting the way he should, he can't stand in the place of a Baal Tshuva. And it's a nice idea and a good thing to share, and it's musr, and it gets me riled up to go do tshuva. But in reality, what does it actually mean? How is this a true statement? So of course it's better to be a tzaddik your whole life. But what is the one thing that a Baal Tshuva has over a tzaddik gemar his whole life? That was the decision that I've experienced life one way. I'm going to veer off that path and come back to Hashem. I've seen the other side of the coin. A tzaddik his whole life has never seen the other side. And that's beautiful and I admire that person. But a Baal Tshuva, which I believe most of us are on, and everyone on their own level, has said, I've seen one way and I'm still choosing to come back to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the decision to return and to act like a yid. And that's what the small things in halacha do. The small things, how every single thing I'm saying, I am making this a connection to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is what makes someone a Baal Tshuva, is what makes him say, I am going to stand in a place that no one else could, because I know what it's like just to throw on my shoes every morning. I know what it's like. I've done that for 20 years of my life. But now, I'm going to put them on every morning the way you want me to. There's an amazing Gemara, and we'll come to an end right after this, in Sota, that explains that before war, there were certain Jews who had averas that were very scared. You know, I have some averas in my back pocket. You know, I'm coming into a life or death situation. I don't really want to go out to war. So the Kohen would come out, the Gemara in Sota explains that the Kohen would come out, and he'd say, anyone who has averas can go home right now. And people would sneak out, and there was different reasons. And one of the reasons were the people who spoke between their tefillin shel yad and their tefillin shel rosh. Right? We know that for Ashkenazim, for sure, it's a hefsek to speak between. And the question is, this is the avera that people were so nervous about. Okay, chas v'chalila, if you were breaking Shabbos and you're going out to war and you're representing the Jewish people, like, whoa, you know, am I going to make it through this war? I haven't been the best person this year. But the small thing I happen to speak between my tefillin shel yad and my tefillin shel rosh, that is what the mitzvah I'm so nervous about. So I heard a beautiful idea from Rabbi Rasner Shlita. He explained it's more than just the avera of speaking between your tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. It's showing that in your life you have a separation between your brain and your arm. You know one thing is right, but you act a different way. And those are the people who should be nervous. We know we want to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but do we put it into action in every single detail in our life? If not, that's what we should be nervous about. It's the small little things in every single aspect. It's all consuming in a most beautiful way that all the little things we have connected, our head, our connection, our love, our desire to build a relationship with Hashem is always connected to all the, our arm, to all the actions that we do. And that's what's represented between the Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh. There's a mashal I always like to say over, and that is if you shoot a bow and arrow or a gun in more modern term, you pick it at a bullseye, you know, just 2 feet in front of you and you're off a centimeter to the right, it's almost irrelevant. But if you shoot the same bow and arrow, just a centimeter to the right, but hundreds of feet away is the bullseye, it will veer way off to the right. And that is the doing small little acts. Small little acts, you're right, tomorrow, 1 foot away, you won't feel the biggest difference. But as you look back in this year, you decide, I'm going to add 5 minutes to my learning. I'm going to tie my shoes properly. I'm going to hold the door open every day for somebody. Small little things. You look back a whole year later, you're going to be all the way to a different level that you never expected. So reason number two is the idea of small little halachos. Like, for example, tying your shoe the right way makes us have the decision in our whole life to act like a yid. And that's what makes us great. So Mirtz Hashem this year, we should be zaycha to totally decide to act like a Jew and to realize that the small things is what really make us great in everything that we do. Kadosh Baruch Hu should be zaycha. And we have extra siyata d'shmaya because we decided to be here this year. Boys, enjoy your lunch. We'll speak later.